Now, over the recent days, the Tiglan Services, new services centre at Jigginstown Manor, just across the road from us here in Naas, has been making news headlines. We might say for the wrong reasons, with the focus on the words of President Michael D. Higgins when he described the current housing situation as a disaster. Of course, government politicians were quick to come out of their boxes and say that the minister or the president had crossed the line, because the constitutional position is that the president shouldn't involve himself in politics. Now, many people, of course, will agree with what President Higgins said, because it's obvious. It's self-explanatory. The housing situation is a pretty much a disastrous situation in this country. Lack of availability and indeed affordability as well. But as to whether the president should have expressed it in the terms that he did, well, that debate has to be entertained as well, given the constitutional role of the president, which precludes him from involving himself in what might be described as government or political matters. We're not here to debate that. We're here to debate the wonderful services that Aubrey McCarthy and his team are providing at a number of centres here in Wicklow and elsewhere. And tell us a little bit more this morning about the services.
There's so more to see.
Oh, go away, lads. Right. On that, don't know why that's coming out. We'll kill that for the minute. Anyway, I'm joined by Eric Murphy, who is in his 20s. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
I'm good. And how are you, Eric?
I'm good. Thanks very much for having me on.
Now, the purpose of this new centre is the provision of homeless services, including homeless prevention, temporary emergency residential support services, resettlement supports, and tenancy sustainment for young adults aged approximately in the years 18 to 25, working with the individual residents, particular focus on a progression to what's called independent sustained living, including an emphasis on employment, work experience, and well-being. Jigginstown Manor is in partnership with Homeless Care in Naas here, just across the road from us, to provide what's called transitional housing for individuals coming from homelessness. It comprises 12 purpose-built individual studio apartments for independent living with a main management community house. The intention is for Tiglan to build on its previously approved housing body experience while working with vulnerable individuals to progress them in every aspect of their lives. One of those is Eric. It's a fantastic, beautiful centre, Eric. I've watched it being renovated and rebuilt over the last couple of years. Give us a little background to your own story.
I'm originally from the area, and I went through addiction. And this is kind of how I ended up coming into the services, you know. Just went through the services, and it was fortunate enough to, as you said, to get one of them studio apartments, you know. It gave me a lot of hope that there's some good people out there, you know.
Eric, you had, because of a result of your addiction and issues, and I will respect your confidentiality, you're not on here to say anything that you don't want to say, so absolutely feel free to only say what you feel that you don't mind sharing. But was homelessness a result for you of your addiction?
It was indeed, Clem. My family were very, very supportive of me. But it just came down to myself not kind of valuing myself and not kind of maybe feeling good enough, and that just left me in a dark hole, you know.
Mm-hmm. What age are you now?
24.
How long were you homeless for?
Roughly 5 to 6 months.
And how did you basically survive those 5 or 6 months, given that you had no home? Where were you keeping up?
Lucky enough, Clem, there was a hostel in the Tye that was, my home, effectively, for 5 to 6 months. And
is that the hostel I'm from? I live in the Tye myself. Is that Roddy Gagan's place?
Yes, it is indeed. Yeah, that's right. The one. And I'd be forever thankful to Bernie, you know, for taking me in and stuff like that.
That's Roddy and Bernie Gagan, yeah?
Yeah, and she did put a roof over my head. You know, there are a lot worse out there, as we all know. You all you have to do is walk the streets in any county, and there is some poor unfortunate person begging and stuff like that as well, and it's...
And when you became homeless, Eric, I presume that it was no longer possible for you to live in the family home. You didn't have accommodation of your own, and you presented yourself at that hostel, which is on the Carlow Road in Athy. It's a former very, very big house, which over the last 20 years or so, has been developed by Bernie Gagan, Roddy Gagan and others there. And it's a place of, I suppose, refuge for people like yourself. So how bad a state were you in when you presented yourself to that hostel in the Carlow Road in Athy?
I was using drugs most days, Clem, so my mental health was very bad, my physical health was very bad. I'd let myself go, as you tend to do in those type of situations. And I suppose Barney provided a safe haven as such.
And now we have to be careful what we say here, obviously, for your own protection and security. But how did you access those drugs on a daily basis?
Well, they're everywhere, Clem. You know, it's quite easy to, you know, the dealer, local dealers and stuff like that as well. It's ravaged the country. It has, particularly among young people. You know, people are struggling to cope, and unfortunately, they're turning to drugs.
And what was your drug of use?
Cocaine.
Oh God, we just talked about cocaine here in the last week, and indeed before that with Michael Guerin from Coonwirra, and reports in the last week showing cocaine is now the most prevalent drug, particularly amongst young people in the country. And what would you say, Eric, to those who say, cocaine, it's grand for a good night out?
Yeah, I think we're in danger here of nearly accepting it as much as us Irish tend to accept alcohol, and that's a real, real concern, because the effects of cocaine are well documented and they're not good.
It played havoc with your life, brought you to near destruction.
Absolutely, you know, I woke up every morning, as I said before in interviews that I've done, when the president visited, wanting to die. You know, and believing that there was no other way to live.
Were you that low?
That low, Clem, yeah.
I saw on television the other evening, I took a clip of you speaking with the President, Michael D. Higgins. Where did you get the funding to be able to get these drugs? And again, only share what you feel that you want to share.
Yeah, I suppose I was fortunate enough to be working at various different points, and every bit of my money was gone, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, the human decency is gone. I wouldn't buy myself clothes, or I wouldn't buy myself food or anything like that, you know. I was lucky enough, as in the different hostels I was being fed, so all the money was gone on drugs.
Tell me about the transition then from the hostel, as you describe it, in Athy with Bernie and Roddy Gagan, and ending and now being at this beautiful centre in Naas at Chigginstown.
Well, Naas is home for me, Clem, so to be back in Naas was wonderful, you know, and these studio apartments, they have everything you need for one person, you know.
And I suppose the question, Eric, is how did you get back and how did you get a place in there? Because given the demand there would be for these beautiful apartments.
I was very, very fortunate. Kildare County Council and Gary there works in the homeless sector. These people were very good to me, you know, and they made it happen.
And just describe what happens in Chigginstown Manor on a daily basis. Now, you have a lovely studio apartment just for yourself.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a little family it is there. We all have our own studio apartments, and there's the main staff building as well. And I have to say, the staff are absolutely fantastic, and people get on a regular basis. And, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. There's some in mental health, there's some in addiction. There's all different types of people, so it's like a little family camp.
I have to say, it's absolutely gorgeous. And in any other setting, it would be someplace people would go and love to go for their holidays, you know. And I've seen centres like this around the county for tourists, a country for tourists like that. On a daily basis, how do you pass your time, or what do you do?
So I'm doing a CE drug free day programme in Athy. It's called the Dara Project. So that's located on Woodstock Street there. So I would do that. I'd travel down to Athy each day and do whatever needs to be done, and then kind of come back to the apartment. And it's a bit of a safe haven, Clem. You know, it's your own space. It's more than just bricks and mortar, as the President alluded to in his speech, you know. It's your own front door. You can close that door, and it's a perfect fit for me.
What did it mean to you for the President to actually turn up for the official opening of Jigginstown Manor?
It was absolutely brilliant, you know. For the President of the country to come was very, very special, and to get to bring him into the apartment and, you know, share a conversation with him and his wife, and the passion he displayed in his speech about homelessness was really, really striking.
Things are looking up for you, Eric.
Indeed, I have that four-letter word I believe every human being should be entitled to, and that's hope.
Indeed. And what do you say to those out there who might be in similar difficulty like yourself? Are those who haven't yet, you know, started to use drugs or anything, but at some stage, as you said, it's everywhere, will be confronted, maybe out socially, with the choice, here, try a bit of this?
Yes, it's very hard with peer pressure and with friends that, you know, it's kind of just, it's just passed on and passed on. What I would say to those people is to be very, very careful and to remember that there's always hope and there's always great people. I can't mention enough people. You know, there's counsellors here in the day programme. There's Carly, my key worker. She's been absolutely brilliant since moving into Jigginstown. You know, there's people that care and that look at you as a human being.
Well, do you know what? You're a brave dude, I have to say, and it's so uplifting to hear that there is, as you say, that four-letter word, there is hope. Everybody, there is hope. Help is there. All you have to do is reach out and grasp that hope, because I'm not overstating it, am I, Eric, to finish finally... finish, unless you ask for that help really and want that help, it's unlikely that you can be helped.
No, and I think asking for help is probably the hardest part of it, but once you do that, you open an awful lot of doors, and there is really, really, I can't stress enough, good people in the services who will help you.
All right, in terms of that, the website, by the way, if anybody wants to see, find out more about the services offered by Tiglan, founded by Aubrey McCarthy, who's been on this programme on occasions, and indeed during on the day of the opening of Jigginstown Manor, Owen spoke to him on the programme. The website is, and you can see the beautiful pictures of the development, it's really super altogether, is Tiglan, T-I-G-L-I-N. .ie. If you go onto that website, tiglan.ie, you will find all that you need to find. And in particular, there's a little tag at the top which says get help. And if you're out there and you're struggling and you want help, you can fill in your details there and they will contact you. Meanwhile, Eric Murphy, super to hear Eric on the road to recovery. As they say, one day at a time, I suppose, is the mantra, Eric.
Thanks very much, Clem, and that's exactly it. It is only 24 hours.
All right. On that note, Eric Murphy, listen, have a good life, stay on the road to recovery, and thank you for sharing your story this evening, this morning with us, which I'm sure will be so uplifting to many people. And messages coming in on that, and I'll just give you one before Eric goes. It says, good luck to that young man and all in this situation. President Higgins and his wife are brilliant people, God bless them, as Eric indeed articulated there. So that's Eric Murphy and the story of that four letter word, H-O-P-E. There is hope. Reach out, T-I-G-L-I-N Tiglan.ie. Don't forget, of course, Coonwira in a Tie does the same work. You can get on their website and find those services.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Kildare KFM. Okay, We have a little change in the running order. They're coming up apparently, so we'll take just a message or two coming in at the minute. LEO, morning. I am the LEO for Kildare Green for Micro Mentor. If Kildare businesses are thinking, I will need to look at that message because there's an awful lot in it that I wouldn't have time to go through at the minute. Let me see what it is. Yeah, can't do anything about that at the minute. Okay, let's go indeed over to Owen while I check out what's going on with those messages. And Owen Beattie is joined by Brendan Wise.
Yeah, Brendan Wise, of course, Fine Gael councillor and Cathaoirleach of the Clonmacnoise Municipal District. Brendan, good morning and welcome to the programme. Now, we're following up on a phone call that we got yesterday from a listener in Killanagh whose daughter was living in Derrinturn. She says she caught between 20 and 30 rats in her home in the Ashgrove estate over the last number of months. She's been in contact with you, Brendan.
Daughter of that woman that was on the programme the other morning, Owen, and I did contact the housing maintenance section in the council, and I'm just out here now actually in the estate, and I'm familiar with the area now, what's going on here, but the council have done some pest control work on one house that's vacant. So there's a block of five terraced houses, there's a bit of an alleyway, and there's a vacant house there, and they have put down some pest control measures there, a base they call it. I'm not sure what the purpose of that is, but they did say they have more pest control work to do in the other houses. They called to another house, they said, and there was nobody home, but they're going to be working on it over the next few days and weeks, they said, now that they're aware of the issue.
Right, and just explain to us as well, Brendan, how big is this estate, how many houses are around the particular house in question?
The house in question is a terrace block here of five, and then beside it there would be another three terrace houses of small units, and then in general it's a big enough estate. I think there's around 40 or so houses in here on.
Right, okay. And Clem, if we just bring you in on that there, I'm not sure if you heard Brendan saying that there's pest control out there at a particular derelict house, just kind of keeping an eye on what's going on there. They've put down some pest control as well, so that's good news following up there on the conversation that we had on the show yesterday. Also, Brendan, we were in touch with a Kilmeague resident unhappy with the state of the Ballantyne Lane in Kilmeague. I was in touch with you about this. What can you tell us here?
Again, Owen, I went out to have a look at that lane, and it runs all the way from the main Kilmeague Allen Road down to the Grand Canal. It's a long stretch of lane, and I'd have to check how much of it is actually public road, because we can only resurface the public parts. Now, there are schemes for the private part. And I have to say, Owen, it's uneven in places. There are no really bad potholes that I came across. Maybe it's been patched up recently, but if it hasn't been done for a while, every year, around the start of the year, the roads engineer and his team do look at roads that they're familiar with in the area that they think need work, and they have a way of scoring these roads and decide which ones need to be done. And I'm very happy to put that road down to be assessed and be included, hopefully, on a future roads programme if the engineer agrees that it needs to be done.
Because as I understand, Brendan, that road, if you continue out down by the canal, it will eventually link you up to the Crosspatrick Road in the Kilmeague Ballyteague area, and that, I understand, was in quite a bad state of repair as well.
The one in Crosspatrick, definitely from, say, that's from where there's a Kilogue have a horse equestrian centre there. That runs up Crosspatrick Hill all the way down into Ballyteague at the Green and Hooban Bridge on the Grand Canal. And I believe that one, it's under progress at the moment, and that maybe there'll be another layer of tar and chipping on that. But that was included in the programme. But that had been asked about, I think, nearly two years ago on. So that's kind of the waiting list or the time it takes to get these assessed and get them on the programme. The programme is a slow enough moving thing, you know, to get roads put onto it, especially a full resurfacing job. It's an annual thing. So we also have to wait to see when government announce how much funding is available for these schemes, and then you distribute it out over the area as much as you can, you know.
Right, and on that note, and just finally then, Brendan, if somebody is living in a particular area that the road is in a bad way, what's the protocol or the steps that they should follow if they want to get it included on the programme, or at least raise the issue?
They shouldn't really have to, own because the engineer will ask his overseers, who are generally in an area and are patching roads throughout the year, and they will highlight to him the roads they think need to be done. But if a resident thinks the road is being overlooked, they can contact the roads department of the Clonmacnoise Municipal District or of their municipal district, or they can come to their local councillor and say, we think this road is being overlooked and it does need repairs. But that's the general process, is that the engineering team will figure this out themselves, and then usually they will have their own list, you know.
So, Brendan, can we take it then that the Derrinturn situation is going to be sorted?
Clem, if it's an external issue, now, again, I'm out here now and I had a look around. I can't see anything that would attract rodents. It doesn't. It's a very clean, well-kept area. There's no littering or dumping nearby. And if it's internal to the house, then maybe it'll have to be something that'll be done internally and in the house. But I'm approaching from the point of view that it's an external issue that's affecting a number of homes, that there's something happening outside of the homes. And this pest control, I'm not an expert, obviously, in pest control, but all I know is the council are taking this action with the view of trying to stop whatever infestation, if there is one there. But that's their first step anyway, Clem.
Well, there seems to be, I mean, I think there can be no doubt about that there's infestation. If her daughter has caught, or if her mother, or who was speaking to us yesterday? The mother was speaking.
The daughter has caught
between 20 and 30 rats over the last couple of months. That represents a very serious infestation situation. And I think, Brendan, it's fair to assume, have you any evidence that or any contact from by any other residents in this estate that they're having similar problems?
No, Clem. In fact, until the girl contacted me this week, it's the first I've heard of this issue. So again, yeah, I would say if it has been going on this long, that I would like to be approached earlier on the situation before it escalates to the point where you do have 20 rodents going around someone's home. I suppose that's when you reach the point of it. I did talk to the lady and she sent me a photograph of one of the most recently caught rodents. I can't tell a rat from a mouse, to be honest, myself. I'm not an expert in that. And she did say that some of the neighbours are affected. And I would like to hear from them, Clem, because it obviously the more data we have and we have an idea of where it's happening, then the better and the easier we can try and pinpoint where to solve it.
We're up in Derren Turin, and the name of the area of the estate again is?
We haven't given out the name now.
Fair enough. We don't want to, we won't either, in fairness to the local residents. They don't want to know, but I think we might mention it. But listen, there's no reason not to mention it on the basis that if it just gets the authorities to move, it is a local authority estate. And the core issue here, Brendan, is that this woman said that they have spoken to various public representatives, made representations to the council, and surely it shouldn't have gone on over a couple of months either before pest control is finally being sent in.
I can't speak for, I don't know what.
And is pest control there now?
Not when I'm here now. I heard they were here yesterday morning.
All right, okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that and see what happens on it. Meanwhile, don't send me any photographs of rats or mice, indeed, Brendan's post, or don't send them to Brendan either. I think we know what the problem is, and the good news is now, apparently, that as a result of we profiling it on the programme yesterday, once again, action has been taken. It is a pity that it does take that at times for us to profile or publicise something. But that's what we're here for. We're here to advocate and to be the mouthpiece for people of the county. If you're having issues and you're getting nowhere, but always go to the relevant authority first. If you're getting nowhere, let us know and we'll see what we can do. Owen, just one other thing before we move on there. Did Kildare County Council offer a response?
They sent me back an email just saying they don't comment on individual cases. So they didn't offer any statement. They just kind of said if the listener in question wants to get in touch with them, they can do so directly. But Kildare County Council don't comment on individual cases.
Did the woman who was on with us yesterday, did she not tell us that they had made efforts to contact the council?
Yeah, they had.
Numerous times.
Yeah.
So we get back a one-liner saying, telling people to contact the council. Right, that woman's frustration was palpable on air yesterday, and fear as well in regards to health. Okay, well anyway, another case solved by the Kildare Today team and the help of Councillor Brendan Wise and others as well, and thank you for that. Excuse me. Today's World Refill Day. What is World Refill Day? Because I have to say, I'm not overly familiar with it. Refill Ireland is proud to celebrate World Refill Day on this day. And to tell us more about it is Lead Project Coordinator with Refill Ireland, Jennifer Taylor. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning. It's lovely to be talking with you and to your listeners. Thank you for having us.
Who are you and what are you?
Yeah, so what we are, we're a non-profit social enterprise and we work throughout Ireland with communities, businesses, local authorities, schools, sports clubs, the public really, to be honest, to prevent the need for single-use plastic water bottles. So what we do is we replace them with innovative solutions. So we created and established the National Refill Ireland TapMap app. And what this does, it just offers a simple solution to the public. This map is to find free refills when you're out and about with your reusable water bottle. So you just download the app, and wherever you are in your community, then you know you have that comfort to refill for free. And these could be just a variety of different types of locations, that they're indoors, outdoors, filtered, you know, unfiltered. It could be, you know, cafes, bookshops, bike shops. I know for example, actually, we have cafes and we have multiple locations there in Kildare, such as, you know, Willow and Wild Cafe, that'd be on the TapMap app. You know, we'd have coffee roasters, and actually we install community hydration hubs with businesses. So we collaborate with businesses where we would install a filtered water station, and they're contributing then to their social, you know, goals to really target plastic pollution, and they're giving back within the community. And essentially then it's just creating that comfort zone for everybody to come in and refill and see that impact collectively.
You know, I have my favourite bottle, which I refill all the time. And I mean, I just realised lately I had a bottle which I used to fill every morning in the office, and I had it 18 years.
Wow.
Now, the thing about it is, folks, that in terms of 850 million metric tons of greenhouse gases are released into the atmosphere each year, and I understand that's equivalent to 189 new 500 megawatt coal-fired power plants, and we know what they would do to the atmosphere and indeed our climate. And in terms of the breakdown of plastic, did I read somewhere some ridiculous number that it can be up to 100,000 years, am I dreaming, in terms of before plastic eventually breaks down at all?
It's estimated that it's between 450 and 500 years to actually break it down. And what it does is it breaks down into microplastics, which, you know, essentially will go into our water, into places where we enjoy. We're going for a swim in the ocean, you know, it's affecting our wildlife, you know, and it really does impact. And even though it's so tiny, we don't see it. And, you know, so I think it's so important to kind of bring it back to kind of like, really, what is it that, you know, we can do ourselves? And I think the first kind of thing that we like to focus on, because we're very much about, you know, we understand that there's a problem there, and we don't want to feel overwhelmed by that problem. We want to be able to take part really in it and make it simple. So, you know, just kind of understanding why it is ourselves that we want to refill.
Jennifer, sorry for cutting across you there, but 2.5 million plastic bottles are generated every single day in Ireland. 2.5 million. And 220,000 of those are drinking water bottles alone. 2.5 million plastic bottles a day in Ireland.
Yeah. It's a lot, and it's really a startling statistic, really, to kind of like grasp and understand. And I think even to know that the potential impact that's there. Imagine, like, even with the water bottles, 220,000 of those are generated daily.
Yeah.
So if every day, like, if every person in Ireland decided for a single day to, like, not, you know, purchase single-use plastic water bottles and to refill for that day, in one day alone, that's 220,000 bottles that have been prevented. I mean, that's an incredible impact.
But, you know, I mean, the simple thing is, if you buy a bottle of water, the simple thing is keep the water bottle and refill it and refill it and refill it as needed. But I just wonder, in this day and age, why are we still making plastic bottles? Because many, many containers now are made from other sources that are not so damaging to the climate and indeed the environment.
I think it comes down to mainly, you know, the production line. You know, it's cheap to produce, you know, from in the petrochemical plants. You know, it's cheap material to use, and it's lightweight. So that was always the selling point, that it was convenient to us. But we've got to question, is it convenient to us? You know, our recycling is overwhelmed. We're in a crisis with the amount that's been produced. And really, we have a solution. You know, we have access to drinking water every day in Ireland. We have our reusable water bottles. We have our taps. I mean, we have access to really make the change and divert away from the problem. And really question as well, what is convenient? Is it convenient for us to be dealing with the aftermath of having to get rid of our water bottle when it's empty after a few minutes, and, you know, wonder, is that actually making it to recycling, or is it going into landfill?
And it's costing us a lot more money in terms of every time somebody goes in and pays some ridiculous money to buy a bottle of water. You know, what comes out of our taps in the main is eminently drinkable. And so, listen, in this time of escalating cost of living, one of the things many people could cut back on is buying bottled water, unless there's an issue with your water supply. So it's World Refill Day, folks. We're encouraging everyone to download the free refill tap map. It's where you can basically get tap water rather than going in and buying bottles after bottles after bottles. The app shows you the nearest location where you can fill up your reusable, focus on that word, bottle for free. Now, it's free. So that you never have to buy a single-use water bottle when you're out and about. It's not rocket science. It makes perfect sense, with plastics taking up to 500 years to break down, and even then they continue their damage as they go into these microplastics and stuff like that. World Refill Day, check out the App Store and download that app for free. But even beyond that, from now on, before you pick up a plastic bottle, ask yourself, is there an alternative? Because there is. And in terms of, if you're one of these people who likes to have a plastic bottle of water with you all the time, have one, your little pet bottle. Give it a name. You know, speak nicely to it, up and down. And don't be just throwing it away. That's an astonishing figure. 2.5 million plastic bottles a day generated here in Ireland, and 220,000 of those are drinking water bottles alone. Think of what that's doing to our environment. Lead project coordinator with Refill Ireland, Jennifer Taylor. Good on you, Jennifer. Thank you for joining us in Kildare today this morning.
Thank you very much for having us. And if there's any business out there listening, they want to join the app and our network, please get in touch with us at info@refill.ie. We'd be delighted to welcome you on. And for anybody else who just wants to invite other, you know, members or, you know, people that they know that would have drinking water in their facility, in their local businesses, you know, encourage them to join as well. You know, it's all a simple solution and it's really, really impactful. So enjoy it. After all, we're only just thirsty, so it's just that simple.
Exactly.
Bottle.
Refill.ie, and check out the app on the App Store or wherever you get your apps in regards to that. Jennifer Taylor, thank you, Jennifer. Keep up that good work, and good morning
to you.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
And speaking about the Kildare Derby Festival, and we'll be broadcasting at the Curragh on the Saturday and Sunday. That's the weekend after next, on Big Derby weekend as well. But many, many events going on the Kildare Derby Festival, which is taking place from June 18th to June 26th. 15 free and ticketed events, along with the three great race days at the Curragh Racecourse. More information on KildareDerbyFestival.ie. And as we told you yesterday, former Eurovision winner Eimear Quinn, she won in Oslo, I think, back in 1989, will perform on next Wednesday night in St. Bridget's Cathedral in Kildare Town. Doors open at 7:30. Tickets available on Eventbrite at €25 per person plus booking fee, or you can buy them without any booking fees and all of that at the Kildare Heritage Centre in the Square in Kildare Town. And we have a pair of tickets to give away, so just text or WhatsApp Voice, V-O-I-C-E, to 08 33 97 97 97, and in about 5 minutes' time I'll declare a winner. We only want about 10. Okay, whoever's Asher, go on. 08 33 97 97 97. Text or WhatsApp the word Voice and your name and say where you're from so that we know who you are and stuff like that. And we'll have a pair of tickets. £25 each, so £50 worth of tickets for you, Owen.
Yeah, already you can see those messages coming in with people wanting those tickets for Eimear Quinn. Loads of other messages as well that we'll get to in a few moments' time, Clem. But first of all, let's go to the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District. And joining me on the line is Fianna Fáil Councillor Anne Connolly. Good morning, Anne. motions that you brought forward to, not too bad, motions that you brought forward to the recent meeting. First of all, you wanted to see being put in place traffic calming measures or interactive speed signs on the approach to Ellistown GAA grounds. This would be quite a rural road.
It is. It is very much a rural road, and I have long campaigned, even have road markings upgraded, and that just hasn't happened, just stopped yet. But it is a very, very busy area. There's a play school and a playground in the GA, regardless, leaving aside all the football matches and whatever that goes on within the grounds there. So look at the report from it, it's somewhat promising. I will commend KCC on the job they have done at present on the Ellistown Road at the moment. So from the report, it appears that they intend to continue that next year and will include works there around the entrance to GA pitch. So that's a positive step now, yeah.
Yeah, that's in relation to road safety. Your next motion was also in a similar vein. You wanted a footpath from Newtown Cross to the Clun Aulin Estate. That's in Newtown also. Whereabouts is this, Anne?
The Clun Aulin, the Newtown Cross is just outside Kildare Town, just up from the village there. And the Clun Aulin Estate is as you head towards Kildangan. Now, there are over 100 houses between the Newtown Cross and that little estate, which is only 6 or 7 houses in it. But they have been approached. Could they get a footpath in it to link up with all the other footpaths that leads them all around Kildare Town, nice safe walking and safe walking into town to do their little errands or whatever. So yes, it was, you know, relatively positive response that they'll consider this in the 2023 programme. Yeah.
And just finally and briefly on this, Anne, can the council confirm if there are plans to reinstate the bins at the Pound in Rathangan and also the Tannery Park playground in Rathangan?
Yeah, well, look, that wasn't so much of a positive response. You know, we did have some, well, considerable vandalism there and on a good few occasions, reference these bins, literally lifting them up and damaging them and throwing them in the river. But look, I spoke with Simon there after the meeting, and I'm hopeful anyway, pretty hopeful that he will reinstall one of these bins anyway.
Okay.
Very necessary because the tidy towns are continuing, you know, picking up litter and whatever. We do need one of those installed. And I would ask, you know, the locals there to use the bins and also to, be careful around them, you know.
Absolutely. Fianna Fáil councillor on the Kildare Newbridge Municipal District, Anne Connolly. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thanks indeed for that, lads. Now, before we finish up, we have a winner, lads. You can stop and thank you for the very, very good response there in regards to that. But I have quite a few messages that have been coming in as well in regards to that last issue that we did a couple of minutes ago on Refill, World Refill Day. My name is Natania Curtis. I own a refill business in Kildare Town called Unpacked. We refill cleaning products, food, personal hygiene products and more. Refills are a new way of shopping and are the future. If you look at France and beyond, this is the way shopping is moving. It's the future. I'm more than happy to speak about refills and giving a talk this evening in Kildare Library at 7 p.m. Is that what Kildare Library is that now? Is it Kildare Town Library, Natania? You might come back to us and let us know on that. The refill business in, good to hear that. Hi guys, just heard that you guys are going to be talking about Refill Day and wondered if you could give your local refill shop a shout out. We have extended our opening hours for today from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and are offering 10% off all refills for the day. Come on in and fill up your rice, pasta, nuts, seeds, cereals and honey. You see, it's not just refilling water bottles. Grind your own peanut butter and treat yourself to some yummy vegan jellies. You can find us on the Kilcullen Road in Naas. Sorry if this seems a bit cheeky. No, it's not. Sinead and Martin Wisely, their company is Refills Zero Waste. They have a website to that effect, refills with a Z at the end of it instead of the S, refills.ie. They're on the Kilcullen Road in Naas, Sinead and Martin Wisely. I was thinking of only refill in terms of water, but you can refill anything. Isn't that a great, great idea altogether in regards to that? Another shout out to Naas's very own refill store on Kilcullen Road from Carissa. It's next to Swan's store. Plastic-free shopping. So there's an extra shout-out for you there in regards to that as well. And shout out for Castledermot Tidy Towns Committee and workers to keep up the good work. Good morning all at KFM. I'm tuning in from Fuerteventura in the Canary Islands. Well, you messer, you. Oh, God. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We're having a heat wave here. And I hope, well, I don't hope it's raining in Fuerteventura. I've been there. Lovely. Enjoy your holiday in regards to that.